नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम राम। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Text Number 17 to 21. हिरण्यकशिपुर भ्रातु संपरेतस्य दुखित कृत्वा कटोदकादिनी भारतर पुत्रान असांत्वयत। Translation: after performing the ritualistic observances for the death of his brother Hiranyakashipu, being extremely unhappy, tried to pacify his nephews. Text 18 and 19. Shakunim shambaram drishtim bhutasanta apanamrakam kalanabham mahanabham harishmashrum athotkacham tanamataram rushabhanam ditim charanim jananim gira श्लक्ष्णया देश कालज्ञ इदम् आह जनेश्वर। ओ किंग, हिरण्यकशिपु वॉज एक्सट्रीमली एंग्री, बट सिंस ही वॉज अ ग्रेट पॉलिटिशियन, ही न्यू हाउ टू एक्ट अकॉर्डिंग टू द टाइम एंड सिचुएशन। विथ स्वीट वर्ड्स ही बिगैन पैसिफाइंग हिज नेव्यूज, हुज नेम्स वेर शकुनी शंबर दृष्टि भूत संतापन ब्रुक कालनाभ महानाभ हरिश मश्रु एंड उत्कच। He also consoled his mother, his sister-in-law, Rusha Bhanu, as well as his own mother, Aditi. He spoke to them all as follows. Text 20. Shri Hiranyakashipu Ruvacha Ambambahe Vadho Putra Viram Marahat Shochitam Ripur Abhimukhe Shlaghya Shuranam Vadha Ipsita. Hiranyakashipu said, "My dear mother, sister-in-law and nephews, you should not lament from the death of the great hero, for a hero's death in front of his enemy is glorious and desirable." Text 21. Bhutanam iha sambhasa prapayam iva suvrate daivena ekatra nitanam unnitanam स्वकर्मभि भूतानाम इह संवास प्रपायाम इव सुव्रते दैवेनेकत्र नीतानाम उन्नीतानाम स्वकर्मभि भूतानाम इह संवास प्रपायाम इव सुव्रते दैवेनैकत्र नीतानाम पुण्यतानाम स्वकर्मभि भूतानाम इह संवासः प्रपायाम इव सुव्रते दैवेनैकत्र नीतानाम पुण्यतानाम स्वकर्मभिः।
Thank you.
ladies. Bhutanam, of all living entities, iha, in this material world, samvasaha, the living together, prapayam, in a place for drinking cold water, iva, like, suvrate, O my gentle mother, daivena, by the superior arrangement, ekatra, in one place, nitanam, of those brought, unnitanam, of those led apart, svakarmabhi, by their own reactions. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear mother, in a restaurant or a place for drinking cold water, many travelers are brought together, and after drinking water they continue to their respective destinations. Similarly, living entities joined together in a family, and later, as a result of their own actions, they are led apart to their destinations. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma kartahamiti manyate. The bewildered soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities which in actuality are carried out by nature. All living entities act exactly according to the directions of Prakriti, material nature, because in the material world we are fully under a higher control. All the living entities in this material world have come here only because they wanted to be equal to Krishna in enjoyment, and thus have been sent here to be conditioned by material nature in different degrees. In the material world, a so-called family is a combination of several persons in one home to fulfill the terms of their imprisonment. As criminal prisoners scatter as soon as their terms are over and they are released, all of us who have temporarily assembled as family members will continue to their respective destinations. Another example given is that family members are like straws carried together by the waves of a river. Sometimes such straws mix together in whirlpools, and later, dispersed again by the same waves, they float alone in the water. Although Hiranyakashipu was a demon, he had Vedic knowledge and understanding. Thus the advice given to his family members, his sister-in-law, mother and nephews was quite sound. The demons are considered highly elevated in knowledge, but because they do not use their good intelligence for the service of the Lord, they are called demons. The demigods, however, act very intelligently to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam as follows. Atah pandir dvijah sreshta varnashrama vibhagasha swanishtithasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. O best amongst the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties, dharma, according to caste divisions and orders of life, is to please the Lord Hari. To become a demigod or to become godly, whatever one's occupation, one must satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. So it's my great honor and privilege to be here at Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish Mandir. Thank you, Sovas Prabhu, for giving me a chance to speak something. I seek the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavs here. And although unqualified, but for my purification, we are trying to speak something from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Amal Puran. Very impressed by the wonderful deity worship and the darshan, which, you know, is one of the very wonderful standards of deity worship, I can say. Rukmini Dwarkadish, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra and Gaur Nithai. Very inspiring for the heart to have such a wonderful darshan. So this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the 7th canto, if you see right from the beginning, Yudhishthir Maharaj is asking questions to Narad Muni during the Rajasuya Yajna. And this is an occasion where Yudhishthir Maharaj is going to be crowned as the king after the Yajna. Krishna suddenly kills Shishupal, and then after Shishupal's death, Yudhishthir Maharaj is intrigued. He wants to know about Krishna's qualities, whether he is partial or impartial. So normally a person who is about to receive some material benefits at the end of a certain sacrifice will be very eager for the completion of that sacrifice. Whereas Yudhishthir Maharaj has suddenly forgotten about Rajasuya Yajna and he goes full on discussing about Krishna. And 10 chapters, 15 chapters, the entire 7th canto goes in discussion between Yudhishthir Maharaj and Narad Muni. So we can see the quality of Yudhishthir Maharaj, that he is completely absorbed in Krishna. And then a major portion of the 10th canto, of the 7th canto, in the first 7-8 chapters, we see the character of Hiranyakashipu being described. And many people may question that Bhagavatam is supposed to be Amal Puran. Bhagavatam is supposed to be spotless Purana. Why such detailed descriptions of the ghastly activities of Hiranyakashipu compared to the number of verses dedicated for the activities of Narsingadev, the number of verses dedicated to describe the qualities and the activities of Hiranyakashipu is more in the 7th canto. So, the reason being that for devotional service, it is described we have to accept things favorable and we have to reject things unfavorable for devotional service. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. So through the character of Prahlad Maharaj, it has been described what are the things favorable for devotional service to accept, how we should model our character in bhakti. And through the character of Hiranyakashipu, through the example of Hiranyakashipu, it is described what we are not supposed to do. Pratikulyasya varjanam, what we are supposed to reject. So therefore, through the example of Hiranyakashipu, this point is being highlighted, that demoniac propensities based on whimsical actions, it is supposed to be rejected within the practice of devotional service by a sadhaka. If you see 16th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, the last shloka defines who is a demon. Yaha shastravadi musrijya vartate kamakarata. One who rejects following of authority and one whose actions are whimsical. Such a person is considered demoniac. So here we find that the result of demoniac action will always be destructive. Even if the personality is very intelligent and has access to lot of knowledge, even if the person has access to Vedic knowledge, and even if he can actually speak Vedic knowledge, even if he can speak philosophy, but the whole idea is the effect of the philosophy will only be when the person is leading a life based on following Krishna and his teachings. If a person is whimsical in his thinking, willing and acting, then even though he may speak philosophy and speak various things and try to justify, but ultimately the effect will be destructive. So this is the whole idea of devotional service, that Krishna is pleased by the intention of a devotee. Even though sometimes there may be some mistakes in the action, but if the intention is all right, and if the intention is to please the Lord is pleased. So here we find that Hiranyakashipu is speaking perfect philosophy, speaking about detachment, vairagya, speaking about understanding that ultimately there is a fate which controls everything. He's trying to pacify his own family members, but his action is such that he's killing hundreds and thousands of other souls and trying to pacify his family members. Therefore, a person whose life is based on whimsical action, there will always be contradictions in his character. So we find this theme in the Ramayana that Kaikeyi, she also had a desire that Bharat Maharaj should get the kingdom. So we are just going to be discussing this theme of misplaced compassion or acting based on wrong intentions and how ultimately it creates havoc. Even though the person may be very knowledgeable and everything, it doesn't have the intended effect. So Kaikeyi, she just sent Ram away. And when Bharat Maharaj returned, the whole of Ayodhya thought Bharat Maharaj was involved. Vasishtha Rishi thought he was involved. Guha thought he was involved. Bharadwaj Rishi thought he was involved. And Lakshman thought that Bharat Maharaj was also involved in the conspiracy. Although Bharat Maharaj did not have anything to do with it. So it is described that when Bharat Maharaj goes to offer the fire to Dasharat Maharaj's body, Vasishtha Rishi stops him and says that Dasharat Maharaj, before dying, he said that even Bharat was involved in this conspiracy along with Kaikeyi, therefore he should not be allowed to touch my body. He should not be allowed to perform my funeral rites. So Bharat Maharaj was so agitated, he told Vasishtha Rishi, you brought me to perform this funeral ceremony to tell me this? And just imagine the pain Bharat Maharaj has to live with. If we know that someone who we loved a lot left their body having a totally wrong conception about us, totally misunderstanding our intentions, and there is no way, no opportunity to clarify that misconception, what an emotional weight that is. So therefore, Sri Vaishnava Acharya is like Vedanta Desika and Govinda Raju, they explain the word Bharata means Bharavahi iti Bharata. The character of Bharat means one who has the capacity to practice devotional service in spite of a lot of heavy load. He had the capacity to accept a lot of load. So therefore, most people would break down under emotional trauma if they felt that, you know, this is the situation of someone so near and dear to me, that he went away thinking about this, about me. But Bharat Maharaj, his devotional service continued on without any reservations. Ahaituki apratihata. So therefore, Kaikeyi had her intention, her idea of what love for Bharat would be. But because of Kaikeyi's misplaced compassion, so Bharat Maharaj had to suffer. And the entire kingdom of Ayodhya had to suffer. So therefore, Prabhupada explains that the greatest welfare activity is to give knowledge about what is real compassion. Saving the body, but more important than that is saving the soul and taking care of the soul's interests. Like I was just sharing this story the other day, we were distributing Bhagavad Gita in the trains. And although, you know, India is the land of dharma and supposed to be the land where Gita was spoken, still, we cannot expect that people will just, you know, welcome the Gita with open arms. So I showed the Gita to one gentleman, and the first question he asked is, are you giving this Gita for free? I said, no, this Gita is for 70 rupees. And he said, Krishna spoke the Gita to Arjuna for free. How can ISKCON charge? How can you charge money for this? Is it correct? So I said, sir, where was the Gita spoken? Kurukshetra. This is Mumbai. 70 rupees transport charge. So many things you are willing to pay for. But when it comes to Gita, anything spiritual, give us free. So Prabhupada says that we have to pay a price for receiving this knowledge, that is humility. We have to have the willingness to hear this. Therefore, in this pastime, we see that Kaikeyi was totally whimsical. Although she had a lot of intelligence, she had even love for Ram, but she thought that this way I can serve the interests of Bharat the best. Created havoc. We have the example of Bharat Maharaj. He saw the deer and he just thought that the best thing for me to do is take care of this deer. So if you read the fifth canto, the verse describes Bharat Maharaj as Mahabhagavata. That means even if one is at a very elevated stage of devotional service, one always needs proper guidance. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrit, Prabhupada gives the example, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was experiencing ecstasy, so somebody asked him, why you are displaying so much of ecstasy? What's going on? So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually went to ask Ishwarpuri, Kiba mantra dila gosai kiba tarabal, japite japite huela pagal. What mantra you have given me, my dear Ishwarpuri? I do not understand the power and glory of this. Kiba tarabal, what is the power of this mantra? As soon as I start chanting, huela pagal, I am becoming mad. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, this is a very proper standard, that even at the stage of transcendental ecstasy, Mahaprabhu wants to consult things with his authority. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going back and consulting. Why I am getting this ecstasy? What is the purpose of this ecstasy, or how this ecstasy is coming about? So one may think that the whole idea of accepting guidance and following some line of authority may only last till a certain stage. But Prabhupada says, no, this is a very safe mode, that we always accept the guidance and blessings of senior Vaishnavas. And in the Bharat Maharaj pastime, this point is brought about, that he had all the good qualities, but he did not have the luxury of the association of devotees. So Bhagavatam explains, to have the great, amongst all the luxuries which are available in the 14 worlds, we may be sometimes regretting or lamenting that I could not afford this luxury, I could not get that luxury, I could not get this one, that one. But actually speaking, the most amazing luxury which anyone can have is the association of devotees. Durlabho manavo deho dehina makshana bhangura. Tatrapi durlabham manye vaikuntha priyadarshanam. To have human form is rare, but even rarer than human form is to get the association of devotees in the human form of life. That is the greatest luxury. So because Bharat Maharaj, he did not have that, so therefore nobody was there to have a watch over him, and there was no check and balance, and then he gradually went away. Somebody asked Srila Prabhupada that, I am practicing Krishna consciousness, but sometimes I feel I am in Maya. Prabhupada said, actually you are always in Maya, sometimes you fall in Krishna. So the advantage of association is that we always have devotees to watch over and intervene and correct. One devotee was telling me, I really like Radha Gopinath, you know, because they are always smiling at me. And secondly, they never tell me anything. But If I don't come for a program, I get a call from this devotee. Why you didn't come? Where were you? I didn't see you. You know, what's going on? So, you know, I get put off by this. Why, you know, you have to ask so many questions? Bhakti is like for bhav, you know. Let the emotions flow freely. Why you have to ask how much you are chanting, when you are chanting, this, that? You know, when I feel, I will chant. And I feel only once in a year in Janmashtami day to chant. If you just allow things to go as per feeling, it will never happen. So the association of devotee, according to the Bhagavatam and, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita, is the greatest luxury. It is the greatest fortune to have. Saubhari Rishi, another beautiful example, you know, he was doing tapasya. So these are all personalities who are very powerful. So he is doing tapasya under the water. Under the water he is performing tapasya, and then Garuda is trying to eat the fish, and the fish come to Saubhari Rishi and say, please protect us from Garuda's attack. So Saubhari Rishi takes it upon himself that it is my service to protect the fish. You know, somebody approached Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, we are charity workers. Prabhupada said, who appointed you? Who has appointed you? Who has authorized this? You know, so here Saubhari Rishi takes it upon himself, okay, I will save you. So there are two forms of envy. One form of envy is, I am the enjoyer. The second form of envy is, I am your savior. So Bharat Maharaj also got trapped in this, and Saubhari Rishi also got trapped, I will save you. And based on that, he committed apradh towards Garuda by cursing Garuda. So he was actually a transcendentalist, progressing on the path of purification, but because of this whimsical action, because he did not consult anyone, and he just decided to show some compassion to someone, it was misplaced compassion. So ultimately he had difficulty. Therefore, when we speak about purification through the process of bhakti, the most important aspect of purification which we are talking about is becoming free from the influence of false ego. And therefore, when we get initiated, we are given the name Das. We are given the name Das means that I will follow your will. I will follow the will of the Vaishnavas. I will follow the will of devotees. Like that. So that's the most important thing. Like two devotees after initiation were arguing that, you know, I got the name Paramatma Das. Someone said, I got Krishna Das. I got Vrindavan Chandra Das. This is a better name than your name. And Prabhupada heard this and he came and said, the most important part of the name is Das. The second part, not the first part, that I am a servant. So therefore, to follow, so Sankirtan purifies the mind, Shastra purifies the intelligence, but the Sangha or association of devotees purifies the false ego. Because we are forced to do things as per the will of the Vaishnavas. Like Prabhupada was in Bhuvaneshwar. Gaur Govind Maharaj was translating Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada requested Gaur Govind Maharaj to complete the Bhagavatam fast, and Maharaj said, I am busy with doing management, I cannot do this. So Prabhupada said, we should find someone else to do some more management so that you can concentrate on this Bhagavatam. He said, I mean, I don't have anyone here. So Prabhupada suddenly saw one devotee walking by, and Prabhupada said, okay, we will make him the manager here. And Gaur Govind Maharaj said, but Prabhupada, he is going to New York tomorrow. Prabhupada said, we will change his plan, call him. So someone went and told him, Prabhupada is calling you. So the sixth sense is very strong, so he realized something is going on. He came and offered obeisances to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada smiled at him. He became more fearful. And he said, how can I serve you? Prabhupada said, I want you to stay here and manage this place so that the Odisha Bhagavatam can come out first. And this devotee was shocked, because all his plans were fixed. And this was like a sudden change. He said, Prabhupada, I cannot adjust in India. You know, the weather, the climate, the food, water, everything, you know. I'm not able to adjust. Prabhupada said, only if you stay longer time, you'll be able to adjust. And he said, Prabhupada, my health is not keeping good here. Prabhupada said, I will tell you techniques by which you can remain healthy in India. I know all of it in and out. I'll let you know, okay? So Prabhupada, in New York, they have created a new department so that I can go and take over. I have to go. Prabhupada said, there are many brahmacharis there. I will delegate it to someone else. The department will go on. You don't have to go. Said, Prabhupada, I can't get along with the GBC here. Prabhupada said, I am changing the GBC today. So he had his last, weapon. He said, Srila Prabhupada, I am so busy morning till night, I cannot complete my 16 rounds. So if I go there, at least I'll have good sadhana, I'll finish my 16 rounds. Prabhupada said, if you are busy morning till night, who says you have to finish your 16 rounds? Now, we can't take that as, a wonderful instruction to be taken from folio and kept in our room. For that particular devotee to, make him surrender, Prabhupada spoke like that. And he said, okay, Prabhupada, what do you want me to do? He said, manage this place. So, we find that one of the greatest challenges is to submit to the will of the devotees. To submit to the will of the Vaishnava community. But then we also find that the greatest blessings come only when we do this. And this is the path by which we will be free from whimsical action. And therefore Prabhupada quotes, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Ekeha Kurunandana Chakravarti Path says that to avoid a cheating propensity, the only way when one can avoid a cheating propensity is one accepts the order and the will of the Guru and the Vaishnavas as one's life and soul and uses that as their true north in their journey. Otherwise, simply depending on the intelligence but not directed properly, we can, see all of these examples how things manifest. So therefore, this particular section of the Srimad Bhagavatam where we find that Hiranyakashipu is actually trying to preach and express things which is not at all, as per his character, but he's just trying to justify using a lot of philosophy. But it has no substance because it is not based on his submission to any other authority. It is based on false ego without any proper character. And the lesson to learn is that for us to follow Krishna consciousness with substance, although difficult, we need to accept this principle that we need to submit to the will of the Vaishnavas and then Krishna's blessings will unfold. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you for a wonderful class, Prabhu. In the topic of authority, which is not a very easy thing, I was just considering a few points, but see what you can expand in this. When the Guru leaves the planet, it makes it very difficult for any organization, not just this one, any organization in the world goes through the same process of trying to figure out how to carry on with the mission. So we have the example of Prabhupada himself when he was with his godbrothers, and of course for us Prabhupada is like the greatest, but among his godbrothers there were some differences and they couldn't work together with him. So my point is that like we meaning to say, God brothers, among God brothers, is more difficult. When the Guru is present, the Vani and the Bapu there, it appears that the Bapu is more easy for them because it's right there, like you just gave the example of Guru Govinda Maharaj and trying to, you know, arrange something for his God brother. But when Prabhupada came, he immediately just, all his obstacles were broken away. So, how could you, what would you advise or what to do for, in the situations in which we find ourselves? Somebody can choose just, okay, I just read Prabhupada's books, I listen to his tapes, and that's my authority. As far as the GBC or sannyasis, they're my God brothers, and, you know, so, can you expand in that and see, get some light on that?
You want to take that? we have Ghanshyam Priya Prabhu from London, and he was just sharing yesterday that when he was doing his internship in a company, Ernst & Young, he met one of the top CEOs there, and that CEO was telling him various points on how organizations are run. So he asked him, any idea how, if you are put in a voluntary organization, how you will run it? And he said, sorry. All my formula fail. Doesn't work. So it's a big challenge because corporate organizations work based on incentives, whereas spiritual organizations and voluntary organizations run based on inspiration. So we have this very big challenge. I was just sharing the story that one country head of Citibank visited our temple, and he's coming regularly. The country head for Citibank in many countries before. So now he's changed his job, now he's in India. So he was telling me that I have traveled to ISKCON temples all over the world, and I can tell you that ISKCON is better organized than Citibank. I was like bewildered. I said, which ISKCON? Says, yes, I have been to so many temples, and I can tell you. And he was giving a class to the brahmacharis in our farm. And I said, can you substantiate that with some more examples? What made you think like that? So he said, my whole day would be busy, so I would travel to different temples. I went to New York, Brooklyn, 4:30 in the morning, because that's the only time I get to meditate. So 4:30, sharp, the shank blew. 3 times. I went to Los Angeles, he has come here also, to Watsika Avenue, 4:30, shank blew. 3 times. Curtain opens, the pujari offers the same ingredient, agarbatti. The singer is singing the same song, and the series of articles which are offered to the Lord follow one after another in the same sequence. Everyone begins the same way and ends by chanting the names of Prabhupada, and sharp after 20-25 minutes, the shank blows again 3 times. Then the Narsinga prayers happen, and 5 o'clock, the curtains close. What standards! What organization! Amazing! It is better than any ISO corporations. And I said, do you stay beyond 5? He said, no, I am busy, I leave. I said, our leela begins after 5. So in one sense, many times, there are various things Prabhupada has given us, and we may not even notice it because we are just, experiencing it every day. But if you actually observe that the spiritual aspects, the spiritual program which we have been given is a very highly organized program. Corporations are talking about ISO, about standardizing. But Mahaprabhu actually gave that task to 6 Goswamis to standardize the process of bhakti. The standardization principle has actually been given by spiritual people to the corporate world.
Because 500 years back, there were no companies and no corporations and no concept of even standardizing any corporations. But Mahaprabhu was busy directing the six Goswamis how to standardize devotional service. People should not think that bhakti means jumping and dancing in Rathyatra. They may look at me crying, dancing in Rathyatra. They may think this is bhakti. You come every year and Rathyatra you jump and dance. That is bhakti. Therefore they must know the standardized, authorized process. So the six Goswamis were given that task. So in one sense, the reason Mahaprabhu did that was because Mahaprabhu also knew that he also had to move on and end his pastimes. So how will things develop after that? It would be based on the written word, the principles. And then gradually things will evolve based on that. So even after Mahaprabhu left, there were difficulties. And it took Bhaktivinoda Thakur practically 11 years to get one copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So therefore, as far as our own scenario is concerned, it is easier for us to listen to those who are senior to us, easier for us to deal with those who are much junior to us, but most difficult to deal with those whom we consider equals. That is the challenging aspect. But our spiritual progress and the quality of the organizations which we are running will very much depend on the principle of cooperation. So Jiva Goswami says, to go back to Godhead, we need two things. Attentive chanting and attentive dealings. If our chanting and dealings are attentive, then only we can go back home, back to Godhead. And therefore, part of attentive dealings is if every member of the society within ISKCON becomes aware that my spiritual progress also depends on the blessings I receive from him and him and him. So we will be more careful. That's what Jiva Goswami also says. For fulfilling a material objective, selfishness is recommended. Because if I try to share things with others, then my own interests may be jeopardized. So the normal tendency to achieve a material objective is selfishness. But he says to achieve Krishna prema, the only formula which will work is selflessness. The more we share with others, the more we serve others and receive the blessings, the more Krishna is pleased and he pulls us up. So therefore, it is very important for devotees as a whole to understand the principle that, you know, we have been given certain responsibilities, roles, tasks, and we don't have to be in anxiety about what someone else does. Because if we serve sincerely Krishna as per our capacity, right, according to our capacity and according to our talent, then Krishna is pleased with us. It is not a quantitative thing. Pleasing Krishna is not a quantitative phenomena. It is a qualitative phenomena, internal state of the heart. Just like I was giving a class somewhere in the outside Mumbai in some congregation. And, you know, I was thinking, because just few days back I had heard Radhanath Maharaj giving class. And sometimes when Radhanath Maharaj gives class, he makes the sound of different animals also. You know, sometimes he kind of, probably he may have done sometime here also, you know, imitates the sound of a cow or a peacock or something like that, or a Vrindavan monkey. So I was speaking about Krishna with the cows and everything. So I thought, okay, I've never tried this. And looks like it's a, you know, good technique to keep everyone awake and inspired. Let me try this. So I tried to make sound of cow. You know, I thought it was good. After the lecture, one gentleman came to me and said, which animal was that? I said, what do you mean? The whole pastime was about the cows. Naturally, it has to be cow only. He said, Prabhu, sorry, it didn't sound like a cow. I said, it was a Mumbai cow. So I was kind of, you know, not inspired by that. So I never tried that stunt again. So in Krishna consciousness, we just have to be who we are and offer to Krishna, you know, as per our capacity. We don't have the anxiety of trying to be someone else. So therefore, in the whole society of devotees, different people will have different talents and different proclivities, inclinations. But if everyone understands the common principle that we are trying sincerely to serve Prabhupada and Krishna and please, then the real transformation will only happen when at an individual level, you know, the principles are in place. Otherwise, any amount of seminars or any amount of laws and bylaws or anything, you know, anyone wants to mess around, they can do a lot to create havocs. Therefore, Prabhupada set up GBC, and therefore the GBC is trying to set up more and more systems in place. So if you see in the case of Vena, there was check and balance system in the Vedic society. Vena went off the track, but there was a whole body of brahmanas who were watching over. So they did not allow him to act whimsically. They stopped that. So they killed the father, and the son was born, Prithu. And Prithu was full of good qualities. He did a lot of wonderful things, but at one point, his interactions with Indra created too much of heat. There was a competition, and that competition between him and Indra just created havoc. Because Indra was just becoming the founder acharya of upper sampradayas, making so many false sannyasis dresses. So again, there was a check and balance system. Brahma came and said, hey, you may be Prithu, you may be an incarnation, but you are going off. Stop it. And then Lord Vishnu came, bringing Indra along with him. Although Indra was the culprit. And Vishnu gave a whole lecture to Prithu. So Prithu Maharaj could have reacted, hey, whoa, you're all giving a class to me. What about him? He's the one who did all the, you know, mistakes. He's the one who attacked me. He says, no, you have to forgive. So therefore, the principle which Bhagavatam is demonstrating is the whole fight was on the who will do the 100th horse sacrifice, yajna. Okay, it was a pious activity. To do a yajna is considered very pious. But even yajna, a highly pious activity, can create impious reactions. What is the scope for that impiety? False ego. So therefore, Lord Vishnu and Brahma intervened and said that, okay, performing yajna is dharma, but parodharmo is not sacrificing horse, but sacrificing false ego. If you sacrifice the horse, you will get the position of Indra. You will be able to sit on the throne. But if Prithu Maharaj, you sacrifice your false ego, Vishnu says, you will sit in my heart. You decide where you want to sit. You want to sit on Indra's throne or you want to sit in my heart? So Prithu Maharaj, Indra both embrace each other. Prithu Maharaj tells Indra, you continue sitting on your throne. I have found a better place. So therefore, you know, if the principle is strong, strongly understood by individual devotees, of what Bhagavatam is actually trying to convey, you know, what is the actual meaning of yajna, sacrifice, it is so clear through Prabhupada's purports that we can model our behavior based on that. And that's why the Prabhupada spent so much of time not on, you know, counseling people on what they should do, what they should not do. He spent most time in writing these books. Why? Because if we just follow the teachings and try to model our character and behavior based on these teachings, then practically there will not be any need for conducting major meetings, ishta goshti, which become mushti goshti, you know, because the principles are not in place. So I think that all of you are doing a wonderful service of trying to share these books with as many people as possible. And that's going to be the basis, you know, for ISKCON, the philosophy. Okay? Thank you very much. You have something? We have time?
Okay. Oh,
thank you for a very enlivening, wonderful presentation. This question that Satchitananda brought up, it comes up repeatedly, and it's one that needs to be dealt with a little more directly. The factor that prevents us from surrendering the false ego to the Vaishnava community is lack of understanding that Krishna is in complete control. And that's why Prabhupada made that his last statement. Krishna is in complete control. That is Krishna consciousness. If you realize that, if you accept that, then you can submit. Otherwise, all you see is the fault. But I know this person. I know he did this or she said that. It's difficult to surrender the false ego to the collective group when you see everybody's fault. But if you keep in mind that principle that Krishna is in complete control, even in this situation, Hiranyakashipu is sending his henchmen to kill people. Why isn't Krishna doing something immediately, stopping them from killing the brahmanas, disturbing sacrifice? No, Krishna is still in complete control under all circumstances. Even when things look like they're falling apart, right, Krishna is in complete control. And when you take that internally and really meditate on that, then you can submit. Even though you may see the fault of the temple president. When Prabhupada is here, the Vapu, he's wrong about that. Vapu doesn't necessarily make you surrender.
Yeah.
The famous case in Hawaii, Prabhupada went there. There was difficulty. A group split off from the temple. They didn't want to submit to the temple president. Prabhupada called them together. He asked the group, split off group, do you love me? Yes, Srila Prabhupada. Will you do what I ask you? Yes, Srila Prabhupada. I want you to submit to the temple president. No, Srila Prabhupada. So it's not, the Vapu does not guarantee that you're going to do the right thing.
Right.
What makes you do the right thing is understanding that Krishna is seeing everything that you do and Krishna is in complete control.
Right.
Then you can surrender.
Thank you so much for those comments. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaur Premanande.